So you're there in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to preach a sermon on the very beginning of this chapter, and the name of the sermon is Judge Not. Judge Not. So this is something that is completely ripped out of context all the time, and basically what they do, you know, what the world does here is they read that first verse there, and then they just, like, take a Sharpie and just mark out the rest of the chapter here. I mean, even in the chapter, it says, you shall know them by their fruits. How are you going to know that unless you're judging that person, you know, and when it comes to false prophets? But I want to get into this idea of judging or judging not and just the applications, because obviously this is something where there's cases where you shouldn't be judging, and then there's other cases where you should be judging. You know, there's a time to love, there's a time to hate, there's a time of peace, there's a time of war, there's a time to embrace, there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time for everything, and this idea of, like, never judging. It's funny because I didn't put the definition of irony on here, but really you should, like, anybody that uses this passage to say that you shouldn't be judging them should obviously be, their picture should be next to the word irony, okay? Because irony is something that they're basically depicting something that's the opposite of what they're depicting, right? And so, or they're guilty of it, that hypocritical and ironic is really what it comes down to, okay? Because the people that say, don't judge, they're literally judging you as they're saying that. They're like, you should never do this. It's like, you're judging me, moron. You know, like, what are you talking about? Okay? But what is this passage talking about? Well, let's read past the first verse. Okay? So the first verse says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, for first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So what we're going to see here is that we're talking about hypocritical judgment here. Okay, this is where you're not supposed to be a hypocrite when you're judging somebody. And really, I mean, just on the surface, what is this saying? If you're guilty of something, you know, if you're more guilty of something that you're judging somebody on, don't do that. Okay, you know, it'd be kind of like, you know, if someone committed adultery and then they're trying to give you marriage advice. That's pretty much what you'd be kind of dealing with there, right? You're like, you committed adultery. Don't give me marriage advice. Okay, you don't have a place to give me marriage advice. Take out the beam out of your own eye first. You know, deal with what you've dealt with first. But, you know, it's funny, though, because the idea here is that, you know, it is not judging someone based off something you're guilty of, okay? And you say, well, you tell people not to lie, and you've told a lie before. Yeah, but the difference is that I'm using the Word of God, okay? I'm not saying, you know, I've never lied before, therefore I'm passing judgment. And I'm not the one passing judgment. It's God that is, you know, when we're talking about the Word of God. But at the same time, would you want me to be your pastor if I was guilty of committing adultery on my wife, if I was guilty of, like, these major sins that you would be judging people on? And the funny part about this is that, you know, usually what's it for? Because I say that queers are an abomination. And I'll just use the Bible terminology, and, well, queer is not necessarily Bible, but the sodomites, the filthy dreamers, the vile reprobates, okay? You want some other language, some dogs and swine, that they're vile and wicked and reprobate, that, you know, I'm judging them, you know, based off what they've done, okay? And they'll say, well, you know, judge not that you be not judged. I'm not guilty of it.
Amen.
Okay? This passage is telling you not to judge someone based off something you're guilty of. Okay? So if you're saying that I can't judge that, you're saying that I'm a sodomite? Amen. But see, they don't understand the passage because they don't read the Bible. They just use parroting talking points. This also gets into the fact that it's talking about a beam, okay? Now, a beam, okay, is bigger than a moat, okay? Now, a moat is not like a moat like you have around a castle and you have alligators in it, okay? A moat in this aspect is like a speck or a little piece of, so you can imagine like a wooden beam that's going across this whole building here, which is not, but, you know, let's say for sake of example, there's this wooden beam that's going across here, but then you have a little splinter of wood that's like on my pulpit here, okay? It's showing you that the person that's judging them has a greater sin. Okay? Now, this also flies in the face of what the world thinks, because they think all sin is equal because they're not logically thinking through that process. Okay? Murdering somebody in cold blood and stealing a cookie are not the same. Okay? But if you stole a cookie, let's say you went to, you know, a bakery and you stole a cookie, okay? Is that wrong? Is that sin? Of course it is. Okay? But shooting somebody in the face in cold blood is worse. Okay? In the Bible, even Jesus said, those that delivered me, said to Pilate, those that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And they're going to have the greater damnation. And there is a sin unto death. I do not say you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. You know, Psalm 19, David saying to keep him from the great transgression. Okay? So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the fact that you're judging somebody. You're trying to help them out. And you're literally guilty of worse than they are. Okay? Amen. And this is usually, you're usually dealing with the holier than thou crowd. Okay? And where does holier than thou come from? You know, Isaiah, where it talks about, come not near me, for I'm holier than thou. And what are they? They were eating swine's flesh before that. And they were doing all kinds of abominable things that they shouldn't have been doing, you know, in the Old Testament. And what are they? They're guilty of more than what they're saying on that person. You know, they're condemning that person for doing something stupid like not washing your hands, right? That's not even a commandment in the Bible, right? But then they're over here literally doing abominations against the Word of God. That's what you're dealing with here, and that's why he's saying this. And isn't it interesting that he starts talking about false prophets? Because false prophets are guilty of this every day of the week. You know, I think of Jack Scott, you know. I don't know why, you know, like someone posted a video with Jack Scott, and it was like some like Hiles Anderson thing back in the day, like 2004 or something like that. But I think of Jack Scott, you know, talking about this. He would say, you know, if you, and Brother Dave, Brother Levi, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it had to do with like marrying people and the fact that he wouldn't marry somebody. He wouldn't marry a young couple unless they went to counseling with him. And also if they, it had something to do with like if they committed fornication, they had to do something. They had to like do all this stuff. They had to go through all these hoops before he would marry them. And then he crosses state lines to sleep with a 16-year-old. That's what you call a hypocrite. Amen. You know, someone that's putting these high standards that aren't in the Bible. Right? You know, if two people are saved and they want to get married, then that's it. Get them married. You know, if someone wants to get baptized, I'm not going to look down the resume and what they've been doing for the Lord. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're getting baptized. Amen. But people put all these extra stipulations, and they're usually guilty of worse than what they're saying to that person. That's why it's saying, you know, judge not that ye be not judged, because basically if you're judging somebody and you're guilty of worse than they are, then the judgment's coming back on you. Amen. Okay? And so it's not this blanket statement, judge not, ever. Okay, I'm actually going to show you a verse in the Bible eventually here on where it says, judge not anyone, but then it says, then judge. Okay, but you got to take everything in context. Okay, you don't just read that and just close up your Bibles. You know, who does that? By the way, Matthew 5 through 7 are all one sermon. Okay, it's not like this even just started off here. In Matthew 7. That's not, Jesus didn't just start off speaking, judge not, be not judged. There was a whole sermon that had gone on before that, not to mention, he's going to explain what he means by that. Okay? So we're talking about hypocritical judgment. Luke 6 talks about this as well, or he brings this up, kind of in the same aspect, but he gives, you know, some other things that go along with that. So there are certain areas where we shouldn't be judging, or you should be careful to judge. Okay? And a lot of these cases where it's judging not, it's not dealing with the Bible, okay? It's not like, let's say you committed adultery, and then you tell that person you shouldn't commit adultery. That's not what this is talking about, okay? Because you're just stating what the Bible teaches, okay? What it's dealing with in a lot of these cases is dealing with things that are not strictly in the Bible. They're not things that are in the Bible, but you're trying to tell them, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And it's a judgment that you're passing upon them that's not biblical, okay? And I'm going to get into that a little more. But Luke 6, verse 37, it says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Notice it's kind of like you reap what you sow. Okay, that concept that's going on here. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall it be measured to you again." So the concept is not just about judgment, you know, like with what judgment you judge, it shall be with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That obviously applies to judgment, but it's not just that, okay? It's talking about if you forgive somebody, if you're condemning somebody, or whatever's going on, you know, with what measure you give them, it's going to be brought back to you. So with what mercy you give somebody, it's going to be given back to you. And what it means, though, is that if you're judgmental towards somebody, like a Christian, and what they're doing, then they're going to, the judgmental mentality is going to come right back towards you, okay? And again, what we're not dealing with here is like straight up commandments of the Bible, okay? We're not saying like you can't say that that person's wicked for committing adultery. Okay, that's what people want you to think, is like, well, the Bible says this, but you can't say that. You can't tell people that that's wrong. That's not what this passage is talking about. Okay, so James chapter 3, go to James chapter 3, because I think of this passage as well. Because what is a judge? I mean, there. By the way, I just want you to know there's a whole book named Judges. Okay? So this idea of like, judge not. I mean, do you think that the judge down in the city hall is wicked because he's judging a case between someone that like got defrauded? You think that's wicked? How about God set up judges? And that's the way his government was supposed to be, was judgment of men. Men were judging it. It wasn't like only God can judge. Then why did he set up, you know, Othniel? And why did he set Joshua and Shamgar and Samson and all these different people? And, you know, Samuel was a judge. And so all that to say is that the ridiculousness of this is like you should never judge anything. The person that says that is literally being a hypocrite as they say it. As those words are coming out of their mouth, they're literally judging you because they're saying, you shouldn't judge. By you commanding me to do something or saying that I need to do something, you are judging me. And people are too dumb to understand that, okay? You're like, I can't believe you call people stupid and dumb. They're a fool. How about that one?
Amen.
There's more hope of a fool than these libtards out there that are constantly using this out of context to say that I can't judge a cause. I can't discern between good and evil. That's what they're trying to tell you. Is that, no, you're not allowed to discern between good and evil. Only I'm allowed to do that. See, that's the mentality of these crazy leftist, liberal morons that are out there, is that only they have the right to discern between good and evil and what's morally right and what's morally wrong. The same morons that are saying that you can kill babies up to birth, and that if they are born alive, then you still have the option to kill it. That's the morality of these morons that are saying, judge not, that you be not judged. Well, guess what? You are judging us, and that judgment is going to come right back on you like a whirlwind.
Amen.
But as you go on here, in chapter 3 and verse 1, so James chapter 3 and verse 1, James chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So what is this talking about? This is kind of a little harder to understand as far as what's being said here. What I believe this is talking about is the fact that you don't want to be, as the Bible says in another place, righteous over much, or basically you don't want to be at the head of all these different things, okay? When you are leading something, it's kind of like me pastoring this church, everything comes back to me. If something fails or something goes wrong, it's ultimately the leadership's fault. You know, it comes back to the leader, okay? And so what it's basically saying is that you don't want to be a master over a whole bunch of things, because that just means that you're going to be guilty of a whole bunch of things. Like, and if I do something wrong, for example, and you're following me, that means that many are offended, right? What does it say in there? It says, be not many masters, knowing that in verse 2 there, for in many things we offend all, okay? So if you're a leader, or let's say you're a judge or whatever, let's say you're a judge just in the worldly sense of as far as the temporal things that are going on in the world, the judgments that you make, if you make a mistake, think about the Supreme Court, right? If the Supreme Court, if you're one of the justices on the Supreme Court and you make a ruling, that affects all of America. So if you make a bad ruling, you've just offended all of America. Amen. Okay? That's what this is talking about, okay? So what this is saying, though, is that you need to be very careful with your judgment, okay? And this can go into the aspect of who you believe is a reprobate, who you believe is such and such, or what you think someone should be doing or shouldn't be doing, okay? If you don't have a chapter and verse on it, and you're not sure, you need to be careful about that judgment. That's what this is talking about. Basically, with what judgment you give out there, it's going to be brought back to you if you're wrong, okay? So, but if you're saying, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not commit adultery, you don't have to worry about that, right? Does that make sense? Like, you're literally reading the Bible and you're just stating a judgment. But if you tell somebody, hey, this person's an adulterer, and you don't know that, and now you're casting judgment on that person, then that's where it's going to come back to you, okay? So you got to be careful when you're judging. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because this, I believe, if you couple 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with Matthew 7, that's what we're dealing with here, is the fact that people are judging people when they have bigger problems, okay? If you don't have your house in order, then don't try to fix someone else's, okay? And a lot of times, you've all known those people, right, that are trying to give you advice, and you're like, listen, buddy, you're falling apart. Why would I listen to you? And that's what we're dealing with here. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Okay, so we're talking about, obviously, the chastening, but it's basically saying that if we would just judge ourselves, look on the interior, then we wouldn't be judged by God, meaning we wouldn't receive chastisement, okay? So obviously we're supposed to judge ourselves, judge what we're doing, look in the as far as our lives, what we're dealing with. And I'll say this, most of the time that's what you need to be looking at. Not worrying about what other people are doing, okay? Unless it's something that's dangerous or wicked or something that, obviously, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just your everyday lives, what you're doing, what you're watching, what you're doing, whatever activities that you do. Worry about yourself, and, that's where, you want to worry about yourself not getting judged when it comes to if you're doing something wrong. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to talk about something because it talks about judge nothing before the time. Okay. So right now I'm kind of hitting on things that you shouldn't be judging. Okay. But this is going to give you more of a specific thing that you're not supposed to be judging. Okay. So obviously, the hypocritical judgment as far as like, you're guilty of adultery, and then you're going to give someone marriage advice, okay? That's kind of an extreme example, or you can use a lot of different examples as far as being guilty of some major sin and then trying to help someone out. Like, you're an alcoholic, and you're trying to tell someone how to stop drinking, You smoke all the time, but you're going to tell someone how to stop smoking, and you're going to judge them on that and be like, you need to stop that. And that's what you're dealing with there. It's not saying, I hate the queers, and the Bible says you should be put to death. I mean, yeah, obviously it'd be hypocritical if you were a fag, but you got bigger problems there, okay? But the idea of saying, judge not, that you be not judged, I'm not worried about it, okay? I have zero worry about judging fags. Amen. On what they do. Zip. Because you know what? It's impossible for a Christian to be some reprobate, pedophile, pervert. So, yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'll judge that all day long, okay? But other things that are common to man, those are the things you got to look in the mirror and say, okay, am I guilty of that? Should I even be trying to help this person out, or should I be giving judgment on this person? And a lot of times this is an eternal thing that you're doing where you're judging somebody and what they do, and you're not looking in the mirror and be like, well, I do kind of do the same thing, And these aren't even biblical things. It's not like biblical, like, commandments that you're talking about. It's like, well, this person watches this movie. I don't think they should be doing that. Or, this person goes over here and eats at this restaurant. It's got a bar in it. And they're judging that person because of that. But there's no chapter and verse, okay? But then that person's guilty of maybe even worse things, okay? So, hypocritical judgment, stay away from that. But then this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think this is a good one that we need to all be thinking about. In verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it?" You say, well, what are you talking about in this passage? What is this talking about? Well, what you have to understand, I'm going to show you, but go to Romans chapter 14, is that what was just talked about in chapter 3, the judgment seat of Christ, okay? And this is something that I think a lot of Christians that are living for the Lord can be guilty of, is judging whether that person is the best Christian or they're going to have the most rewards. And, you know, that basically what they're doing is trumping this person over here. And you're kind of like saying, this person's higher than this person. You know, it'd be like saying, okay, well, Pastor Anderson is obviously the best Christian in the world, and he's got most rewards coming to him and all that. Maybe, okay? I'm not saying he isn't a good Christian, okay, that he's not doing great things for God. But that's what the foolishness is here, is judging a Christian and saying, well, you know, I go out soul winning this many times a week, and I'm winning this many people to Christ. This person over here goes out once a week, and they'll win someone to Christ maybe once a week. And, you know, and they judge off that, okay? They judge off basically how many souls you win a week, okay? And this judgment goes around as far as, like, oh, who's going to have more rewards? Who's going to have more authority? Who's going to be more blessed by God at the judgment seat? And the Bible's saying, judge nothing before the time, okay? And even Paul says, I judge not my own self. This is a good marker, because here's the thing. None of us know what that's going to be or all that entails as far as what our reward's going to be and what all it's going to be based off of. Okay, there's some things that the Bible does say, hey, you know, you're going to get a reward for this, or if you're faithful unto death, you'll get a crown of life. And these different things that are rewards that we can pinpoint, but you don't know all that stuff. You know, I'll give you an example for the ladies, okay? Us men, you know, we have more time to where we can go out soul winning. I don't expect mothers to go out soul winning as much as the men. Okay? Does that mean that they are already handicapped to get as many rewards as the men? I don't believe that for one second. We have different roles, but we have different things that we are doing for the Lord. Okay? You know, I think of just different things in the church, and I'm just giving you an example of this as far as different things that people do in the church that aren't directly soul winning, but if they didn't do it, I wouldn't be able to go as much. Okay? If my wife didn't watch my kids, guess what? I wouldn't be able to go soul winning as much. Okay? And you say, well, you know, then you shouldn't have kids. Well, then I wouldn't be your pastor. Okay? See this vicious circle? You go around and say, well, if I didn't have this, or I had this and this, and you're judging based off circumstances, you're judging based off what they do or what they don't do, but a lot of times you don't see what they do behind the scenes. You know, well, this person, you're not that spiritual. How do you know that? Maybe they're actually fasting and not telling you about it. Maybe they're actually praying and not telling you about it. Maybe they're actually doing what the Bible teaches that they should be doing, is having their walk with the Lord in their closet and not showing you everything that they do. Okay? And so this can be passed everywhere. You could pass it on me. You could say, well, pastor doesn't go soul winning as much as I do, or pastor doesn't do this or that, or pastor doesn't do that. And you could pass that judgment on me and say that. And you may be a better Christian than me, you may not be. But the thing is that when it comes down to it, judge nothing before the time. And I don't even judge myself. I'm not looking at myself and trying to compare myself to anybody in the church or any other pastor that's out there. I'm not going to say that I'm above or below anybody that's when it comes to pastor friends that I have or Christians that I know. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no idea.
Amen.
But you know, I think that's the way it should be. If you knew how much reward you had waiting for you, you might actually just stop working. Okay? Because I have not seen nor ear heard, you know, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You know, so if you actually saw a little bit of it, you'd be like, all right, I'm good. Yeah, I'm happy with that. But you would regret that, obviously, because, you know, you would obviously want the most, right? You want that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is talking about the fact of not being puffed up and saying, well, you know, Paul. You know, and they're using Paul and Apollos here, saying like, well, you know, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos and all this. And he's basically saying, listen, we're all in this together, and don't judge each other based off that. Because somebody can say, well, Paul's the greatest Christian ever to live, okay? Well, Apollos was already saved before they even got to him. How do you know what he had been doing before that? How about Nathaniel and all the apostles that were doing that before? How do you know that? Now, obviously, Paul, we know about him because he wrote, you know, a lot of the New Testament and all that stuff that's going on. Do you know what Matthew did after that? Do you know all the things that John did? Now, we assume that Paul was the greatest Christian, and he did say, I labor more abundantly than them all. But do you know what they did after he wrote that? Do you know what they did, you know, in between that? And, you know, I wouldn't judge that. And in the end, you don't want to judge until you get there. Now, go to Romans chapter 14. So there are cases where we're not supposed to be judging those matters. I remember when I first got saved, we do those kind of things where we'd be like, well, I wonder who's really doing the most, you know, and like the rewards, and you try to quantify things, and it's foolish. This is what it is, okay? You just need to just go full bore, follow the Lord, do what you need to do, do as much as you can do while raising your family, doing what you have to do, working a job, do everything that you can do without burning yourself out, because this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. Do as much as you can do to the very end, and then let the chips fall where they may. That's what this is teaching. It's not just basically, oh, you know, so-and-so. It's going to make you anxious. It's going to make you feel like you're inadequate. You know, if I just looked at some of the pastors and just the stuff they did, or I looked at other churches and say, well, look at all the missionary trips they're doing. Look at all the soul-winning marathons they're doing. Look at all this stuff they're doing. I would be discouraged. Because I'd be like, man, I just can't handle all that right now. I just don't have enough time to deal with all that. I'm not doing as good as they are in this area. And what that's going to do is just make you feel inadequate. It's going to make you feel anxious. It's going to make you feel like you're not doing what you should be doing. But in the end, judge nothing before the time. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be increasing what you're doing, but you should be just looking at yourself saying, hey, this is what I've been doing. I'm going to try to do more, do more, do more. Just focus on what you're doing and don't judge other people. And in the end, don't even judge yourself on the rewards. Let that come later. Let that be a surprise. Okay? You know, in shooting terms, you know, squeeze that trigger and let that shot be a surprise, you know, and then you're going to have straight in the middle X. Just follow through. Now, only my dad knows what I'm talking about. Well, other people that shoot know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So vegans out there, stop judging me. Okay? I like bacon, I like meat, and, you know, take a hike, okay? But if you want to be a vegan, you want to be a vegetarian, go for it. I'm not coming against you, okay? And if I make fun of you, I'm going to, you know, then I'm joking, okay? To a certain extent. It doesn't mean that you're not weak, though. Okay? If I say you're weak, you know, that's what the Bible says, okay? But at the same time, don't judge me because I'm eating meat, okay? Now, in verse 4 there, it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And this is what, kind of tying right back into judge nothing before the time, is you see how this isn't crucial Bible doctrine here? Does it really matter if you don't eat, you know, bacon or you don't eat this or that? Because a lot of times what you're dealing with here is like, well, people still thought it was wrong to eat, like, swine and, you know, different things like shellfish and, you know, that transition between the Old Testament and New Testament. Does it really matter if they say, you know what, I'm not eating bacon? Is that going to change your walk in the Lord? Okay. And that's what he's getting into, is that, you know, not judging another man's servant. To his own master he standeth and or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So it's basically saying, even though he's weak because he's not getting enough protein, and he's trying to get it in lentils, but it's not happening, you know. Too many beans, just not working out. You know, even though he's weak, God can hold him up from that, and he can sustain him, and he can do great things for God, okay? And you and I can say, well, that's not smart. I think that he should just, you know, that person should just eat meat and it'd be better for him. Yeah, you can think that, and I would agree with you in a lot of those cases. But in the end, stop judging that person because they don't eat meat, okay? Just let them do what they're doing and tell them the same thing. Don't judge me because I eat meat, okay? Because you can have all kinds of standards, but this is where doubtful disputations come in, okay? If you have a standard to say, I don't watch Disney movies, that's great, okay? But don't bring your stuff on me, or, you know, what your standards on me that are not straight up out of the Bible, okay? And you say, well, I don't watch this, or I watch this, or, you know, I do this, or I go to this area, and you go to that area, and I don't. Listen, if it's not straight up against the Bible, now, obviously, there are things that I would not let my children watch, and I think that it's, you know, it'd be really bad and wicked for them to watch, okay? So I'm not saying, like, you know, if someone's just letting them watch all kinds of stuff and it's just filthy, you know, stuff that's on TV, then yeah, I mean, at that point you're like, you're letting them watch, you know, like people that are naked. You're letting them listen to people curse God. You're you know, all these different things. I mean, that's getting into like commandments of the Bible, right? But at the same time, you know, we need to be careful on like, you know, just one, two, dealing with food, okay? I'm all for organic food, okay? And I would love to go all organic, and we try to. In a lot of cases, we actually have these discussions. I wish we had a Trader Joe's right here in town. But if someone doesn't eat that, or if someone eats fast food, listen, I'm not going to judge that person and be like, what are you doing eating McDonald's? You know? What are you doing? And I used to judge people for eating Chick-fil-A. And now I'm like, yeah, well, they're there all the time. I've crossed over. Still not my favorite place to eat, okay? But all to say is that you can see how people are just like, and people will post online. I've seen this on Facebook where people will post about like eating, you know, like if you're eating a Burger King, then I don't know if you're saved. No, I'm just kidding. I don't like Burger King at all. Everything's cold there. It's disgusting. But, you know, people will post, you know, like, I want a Big Mac or something like that. Or I'm just craving this. I know it's not good for me, but I'm craving this. And people are just like, what are you doing to yourself? You know, this is not right. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're hurting it. And I'm just like, calm down, man. Calm down, okay? If someone wants to eat McDonald's every day, every week, I don't care, okay? If they ask me my opinion on whether that's healthy, that's a different case. But at the same time, you know, I'm not like looking at them and like, man, if they just get that McDonald's out of their life, they could really do great things for God, you know? If they would get this out of their life, if they stop drinking soda or they stop doing this or that, it's like, worry about yourself. You know, a lot of the times the people that are saying that type of stuff, they have their own problems they need to deal with. And a lot of times it's not even like, see, food can be a problem. It can make you sluggish and all this other stuff. But that same person has problems in their marriage. But yet they're passing judgment on someone because they're eating a Big Mac. Okay, you know, you see what I'm saying here? Is just worry about yourself. Stop judging someone else based off things that are not straight up Bible commandments as far as what you should be doing or not doing. Okay. Now, keep reading there. It says one in verse 5 there, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. If someone else tells me that Christmas is wicked, I'm just going to snap, okay? And I don't know if it's just because people just are constantly, they have their hobby horses, okay? It's like, Christmas is wicked, and you should not celebrate Christmas. What's wrong with celebrating the birth of our Savior? You're like, well, you know, that term Christmas, it has mass in it. Okay, well, butterfly has butter and fly in it, and they're not the same thing, okay? And so, in a lot of languages, usually also look at Feliz Navidad. What are you dealing with? Nativity, okay? And people get caught up with Easter, like, well, it's Ishtar, it's the goddess of, you know, such and such, and fertility, and that's why they have Easter bunnies and all this other stuff. Listen, no, that's not where that word came from. You're thinking of a different word that looks similar to that, and they're just like, well, Easter, you shouldn't celebrate Easter. I'm celebrating the resurrection of my Savior, and he is the Easter Lamb. I mean, if you look at earlier renditions of the English Bible, they would put Easter in there for Passover. Actually, that was the word that was used before William Tyndale penned or even came up the word Passover. And so people are judging these things, first of all, that they don't even know. But second of all, if you don't want to celebrate Easter, you don't want to celebrate Christmas, you don't want to celebrate birthdays, that's fine, okay? But don't judge me because I'm celebrating something that's not ungodly. Easter's godly. Christmas is godly. Birthdays are fine. You know, if you don't want to celebrate a birthday and you don't want to give your kids gift and you want to see them cry and like not have birthday gifts when everybody else does, then more power to you. But at the same time, don't judge me because I do that. Because you know what? I regard it unto the Lord. I look at birthdays as far as I'm glad that I have my child and I'm celebrating that I have another year with them and I'm going to give them gifts because I love them. And you know what? You know, nuts to you if you don't like that. But you can see, and again, I can go into all kinds of realms on this, okay? But that's what you're talking about. Don't judge people because of that type of stuff. Unless you have a chapter or verse that says don't celebrate birthday parties, okay? Or don't celebrate the birth of Christ, or don't celebrate the resurrection, then get off everybody's back about it, okay? And I don't care if it started off as pagan, you know, like the idea of celebrating the birth of Christ. Listen, how do you know they didn't celebrate that, you know, before that? And even if they didn't, you know what? What if I said, I'm going to celebrate, you know, the fact that Jesus turned the water into wine? Or I celebrate the fact that, you know, he did this or that in the Bible. And I just had a holiday. Guess what? To the Lord, I'm regarding that day. And don't judge another man's servant based off what they are regarding. Okay? And you may say, well, that's silly to celebrate that. I don't care if you think it's silly. It doesn't matter. It's not something that's ungodly. You're just praising the Lord for what he did. Okay? Now, notice in verse 10 there, kind of skipping down, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See how this goes all full circle here? Judge nothing before the time, and you're judging your brother. And he's saying, listen, you know, we're all going to stand before that. And it says in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Okay? Well, just cut off the verse there. Don't read the rest of that. Don't judge anymore. Don't judge anybody. Don't judge a brother anymore, ever. What does it say right after that? But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Okay? So, it's not saying don't judge anything. Okay? It's saying, in particular, don't judge another man's servant based off these doubtful disputations, off these things that are not straight-up scripture in the Bible, okay? And listen, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and in that day, that's when everything's going to be revealed. And in that day, you're going to get rewarded according to your works. But I think about this, too, because in James chapter 4, go to James chapter 4, this verse is kind of a little confusing if you're reading it, but if you think about it in context of what we were just talking about, where it says, why dost thou judge thy brother? What is that talking about? Is it judging them based off things that are straight up commandments of God or doubtful disputations? Okay. Now think about that going into this verse right here in James chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? What is he talking about? They have made for doctrines the commandments of men. What? I mean, isn't that it saying basically that you, there's one lawgiver, okay? God is the one that makes the laws, not you. So if you don't like Christmas, you didn't make that law. You don't like Easter, you didn't make that law. You don't like that I eat a Big Mac at McDonald's? You didn't make that law. You don't like that I work out at a gym where they have worldly music playing? But guess what? You didn't make that law, because good luck going into any place that doesn't have worldly music playing. You don't like that I go to a restaurant where there's a bar somewhere off in the distance? Listen, you can have that all day long. I'm glad you have standards. But you didn't make that law. And don't judge your brother, because you're not the lawgiver. God is. Okay? So that's what that's talking about. It's not saying, like, you can't judge your brother if he commits adultery. Okay? Or you can't judge your brother because he committed murder. Obviously, that's not what this is talking about. But if you think about it in context, what are you dealing with? Doubtful disputations, things that you don't know. And listen, you may be right. Okay? There's things that you have standards on that are probably the best way to go about it. And you may be right. I may be wrong. Someone else may be wrong. You may be right. Vice versa. All that stuff can apply. But you need to be careful on what judgment you're giving if it's not explicitly mentioned in the Bible. Okay? And so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the judgment seat of Christ. It's talked about there. And kind of come a full circle with that. I might just have to skip over some of this stuff, because I do want to get to the point where we need to judge people. Okay? Meaning this is that I'm kind of hitting on the things that you're not supposed to be judging. But I also want to get at the fact that you can't just take that and say, well, I'll never judge anything ever. Okay? Because then you're going to be disobeying the Bible. Okay? It's just like the people that say, well, love everybody, love everything, never hate. Well, how are you supposed to love the good and hate the evil? Aren't we supposed to hate them that hate the Lord? You know, like, and so you can't just take this broad brush. And that's what they're trying to do, is say, don't judge anything. Okay? But you have the other side too, and where it's like, well, judge everything. Okay? Because it's kind of like this. You know, we know that there are people we should hate, and there's definitely things that we should hate. But then people take that too far and say, just, I hate everything. Okay? No, you need to know what to hate and what to love. You need to know what to judge and what not to judge. Okay? This is where discernment comes in. This is where your Bible reading comes in. This is where you rightly divide the word of truth. Not dispensational. This is where you rightly divide it between what's right and wrong, and the right time and place to do things. Okay? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So you can understand that in the next chapter why he's saying, judge nothing before the time, and you're puffed up one toward another, because you're basically saying, well, you're of Apollos, I'm of Paul. Paul is the great one, right? Or another person say, well, I'm of Christ. I was here before you, Paul. See how they're puffing up themselves based off who they're associated with? Well, I'm not a Mountain Baptist. I'm a Faithful Word. I'm not a Faithful Word. I'm a Verity Baptist. You know? I love all those churches. Obviously, I love Mountain Baptist. But, you know, but at the same time, do you see how that you can say, well, Pastor Anderson baptized me. Well, Pastor Robinson baptized me. Well, you know, so-and-so is better than this or that, and you puff up yourselves, and you're like, I'm going to have better rewards because of who baptized me. I'm going to have better rewards because I was in that church over there. Now, honestly, you may have better rewards because you're in a good church that's doing things, that's pushing you and helping you strive for that. But ultimately, you're going to be judged according to your own works and based off everything that you do. Listen, when you stand before that judgment seat of Christ, you can't be saying, well, this person held me back, or this over here happened. No, it's all coming back to you. So why don't you just focus on yourself then? So, and, you know, I was going to go through it, but if you read the rest of this with 1 Corinthians 3 and then 2 Corinthians 5, you're dealing with the fact of, you know, you're being judged according to your own labor and, you know, based off your own work. And so I want to get on to the next point here. So go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Because I kind of dealt with the fact of what we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to be a hypocrite when you judge. So if you're guilty of the same thing that you're judging someone on, then you best just, you know, close your lips, you know, and just don't talk about it. Okay? You're not in a position to judge somebody on that, okay? Unless you want judgment to come back on yourself. But really what that passage is talking about is that you're guilty of worse. Okay? You're telling someone not to eat the Big Mac, but you're committing adultery. You know, that's what that's dealing with, okay? And but then you're also not to judge anything before the time dealing with, you know, how, you know, someone is serving Christ on doubtful disputations, on things that are not explicitly said in the Bible. You know, you're not to be like just judging that person, or even judging between men and women as far as what the rewards are going to be. Okay, that's a great example of different roles, different things that people are doing, and how you don't know. You know, there could be ladies in here that have more rewards than a lot of the men in the church. Okay, and you don't realize that because you're not seeing everything that they do. You're not seeing all the stuff they do behind the scenes. You don't see what they do with their children, and their children grow up to be great soul winners of God, and that wouldn't have happened if they weren't the mothers that they are.
Amen.
Okay? And so you say, well, how do we figure it out? Don't figure it out.
Amen.
Okay? I'm an engineer, and that algorithm's too complicated for me. Okay? Meaning I don't want to try to figure that out. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to like not worry about it. Okay? There's certain things where you're just like, just let God deal with it, and I'm just not going to worry about it. Okay? And I believe that's what that's saying. Now, in Leviticus chapter 19, you were like, Leviticus? Yeah, this is the only place in the Old Testament where it says love thy neighbor, by the way. So you should like Leviticus 19, even though you hate Leviticus 18 and 20. You know, not you guys, but you know, the world does. But in between that sandwich of the two pieces of Ezekiel bread smashed in between here is Leviticus 19. Where it says in verse 15, it says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. This is a commandment. So anybody that says, judge not that you be not judged. The Bible says, in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Okay, so we're supposed to be judging our neighbor in righteousness, okay? So he's basically saying don't do it in unrighteousness. Don't, you know, basically do it for, you know, bribes and like all these different things. Notice in verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. That neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. So great stuff here, right? Everybody be like, oh, amen. Don't hate your brother. Well, read the next portion there. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him.
Amen.
So not only does it say that you need to judge your neighbor, you need to rebuke them when they're guilty of sin. Okay? But do you see how it's coupled with not hating them? You're not to hate the person, you know, the brother that you're rebuking. You say, well, we're supposed to hate reprobates. I'm not going to be rebuking them. Okay? Meaning I'm not trying to deal with them and trying to reconcile them. Does that make sense? So that's not going to be a problem, okay? When I preach against the queers and the sodomites and all that stuff, I'm not preaching for their sake, okay? They're damned. They're done, okay? But it says to rebuke that neighbor. And you say, wow, you know, this is all outdated. Throw out Leviticus. Well, look at the next verse then. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So what part do you want to throw out? Do you want to throw out the part where it says not to hate your brother? Because you need to take that also with the fact that you're supposed to rebuke your brother. Do you want to throw out the fact that you need to love your neighbor as yourself? Or do you want to throw out the fact that you need to judge righteous judgment? Okay? So this isn't a smorgasbord here. Okay? I know you want to rip out Leviticus 18 and 20, but you just want to pick apart all the little pieces out of Leviticus 19. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, take this and eat this spiritual sandwich. Okay? Because it all fits. Now, John 7, verse 24, this is our memory verse. John 7, verse 24, this is Jesus talking. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So, you say, well, that's Old Testament, you know, with Leviticus 19. This is New Testament, okay? This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to judge righteous judgment, okay? But he puts a caveat. He's like, you don't just judge off the outward appearance. You know, you don't just judge based off the appearance. You judge off, you know, just righteous judgment. They do this or they say this. Guess what? You have the right to have righteous judgment after that, okay? It's like if you see somebody that, you know, is dressed rough, let's say they're dressed like a biker and all that stuff, and you say that person can't be saved. Well, you're judging off the appearance then.
Amen.
You may talk to that person and be like, yeah, I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved eternally by faith in Jesus Christ. And then you look at someone else that's in a suit, you know, three-piece suit, all this stuff, and then you talk to them and be like, well, of course you can lose your salvation, or they hate God. Okay? So you can't look on the appearance, okay? You got to look on what do they say, what's coming out of their mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, by their fruits, what are they producing? Okay, not their works necessarily, but their fruit, their what they're producing. And then going on from that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because the church of Corinth is actually rebuked for not judging. I thought you said in chapter 4 to judge nothing before the time. Yeah, there's a specific thing they weren't supposed to be judging, which is how they're serving the Lord and what they're doing, dealing with doubtful disputations, what they're eating, you know, all these different things, what day they're observing to say is a holy day or not. You know, that's what you're not supposed to be judging. But what you are supposed to be judging is major sin that's in the church. Okay? Amen. Fornication, you know, idolatry, extortion, extortioners, all that stuff. But at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's rebuking them in verse 12. It says, For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. He's talking about throwing someone out of the church because of fornication. And he's saying, you need to judge that within. But then once they're out there, God's going to deal with that. Okay? You know, if we kick someone out of the church for like committing some major sin, obviously we want reconciliation. That would be the ultimate goal. But in the end, once they're out there, it's not my job. It's their job to get reconciled with God, and God's dealing with them. Okay, that's another sermon for another day. But go to verse 1 of the next chapter. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, he's going to go on to rebuke that they didn't deal with this internally. They were actually going to external judgment. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Man, these people would choke on that, wouldn't they? Guess what, world? We're going to be judging you, okay? And we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. What do you think you're going to be doing during that time? You're going to be judging the causes, right? Jesus Christ is obviously the King of Kings, but he's going to set people over cities of 50, or, you know, like it talks about that as far as what you do for Christ is going to be how much authority you have over different groups of people. And you're going to be judging those groups. Notice what it says. Keep going there. It says, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? This is a rebuke, by the way. You know, he's basically saying, if you're going to judge the world, how can you not judge the smallest matters, right? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Man, that's even more, because angels are greater in power right now. Okay, we're made a little lower than the angels, but when we're in our glorified bodies, we are above the angels. We are joint heirs with Christ, okay? And notice it says, how much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law before brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So what's the whole point here? Is that there's something that went on in the church, and they took it to an outside judge to deal with. That is unbiblical. And they're getting rebuked for that. Okay, we're obviously not talking about someone being a pedophile or someone being a murderer or something like that. We're talking about things that, like, being defrauded, like someone backed into your car and then they didn't fix it, or they didn't even, try to deal with that. And you're trying to get that case, and you're taking them to court saying, hey, I need you to fix my car. That's what you're dealing with, okay? But he's rebuking them saying, hey, notice what it says in verse 4 there, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Amen. Now, that's not a commandment to say, find the least esteemed person in the church and make him a judge. He's stating that because he's saying, you're better off having the most dim-witted, foolish person in the church judging a cause that's saved, okay, than taking it before the unbelievers. That's what he's stating. And he says, I speak this to your shame. So he's obviously saying, you know, is there not a wise man among you? But he's saying, you know, at the very least, find the lowest, bottom of the shelf Christian that's in your church to judge this matter. You know, a believer. But don't go to the unbelievers. Okay? And you judge them, you know, like to judge between thy brethren. Don't judge me, brother. Well, the Bible says I need to judge you. And if I don't, I'm against the Bible. Okay? You know what? As a pastor, I'm going to be judged between the brethren on these causes. Amen. Okay? And you as believers can judge in these causes as well. You know, and this is where you get into like how you deal with people that defraud you or trespass against you. In the end, you know, if nothing comes and you say, well, what if after everything, they're just like, nope, not fixing it. Then suffer yourself to be defrauded. It's better to suffer yourself to be defrauded than to go to outside help. Now, you say, well, what if someone just totaled my car and they just were unrepentant. They just like, yeah, I did it. What are you going to do about it? And you're like, well, now my insurance company has to pick this up. And, you know, my premiums went up, all this stuff. That person's going to be kicked out of the church. And they're never going to be back until they pay full restitution. That's my judgment. If they're like that, okay? And by the way, the church will help you out in any way that we can. That's what will happen. But that person will bear their judgment, okay? Amen. So I'm not saying like injustice is going to happen. You just got to bear it, and then they're going to come to church and be like, yeah, what's up, you know? I did it. No, they're going to be out on their rear end. Unless they get right with God, and the only way they're going to be coming back to the church is if they pay you back. That would be my stipulation. Now, other pastors may be different. They may say, well, if they repent, if they feel like, no, that wouldn't be my stipulation. And it would depend on the causes, right? It would depend on, you know, what happened and what was really done. But we're not talking about someone like that is a known sex offender. They'll never be allowed in this church. Amen. That's not something that we need to judge between ourselves. This is the judge on that one. So, but we are talking about, you know, someone defrauding you or, you know, whatever, right? So, yeah, those things we need to judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. That's what Paul is saying here. And obviously he's kind of going through all these Old Testament examples and admonitions. It says verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. So if you're a wise man, guess what? You're going to judge what people say. Amen. Now you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 14, dealing with preaching. It says in verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. There's nothing wrong with judging, my friends. It has to have a proper place, though. Does that make sense? You're obviously judging. You should be judging what I'm saying, right? You shouldn't just be saying, well, I'm taking that as fact. Don't do that. Please don't do that, okay? Because there's times where I've misspoke or I've said something wrong, and, you know, don't take every little word that I say to the bank as if that's just gospel truth. Now, if it's the Word of God and I'm just reading the Bible, then take that as gospel truth. But in your mind, you got to be judging and saying, okay, does that match up with Scripture? Does that match up? You know, and you're being fully persuaded in your own mind that that is right doctrine and the way he's applying that is right and that he's not off his rocker, okay? You need to be doing that. If you're not, then you're treating this as a cult, okay? That I'm some infallible man up here that doesn't make any mistakes, okay? You know, it's just not the case, and that's dangerous. You need to be searching the Scriptures daily whether those things are so. You know, that's where you need to be looking at it. And the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Ultimately, that's where you need to be going back to, okay? But I'm not saying that you need to be up here and just be like constantly like picking me apart and be like, he didn't say that right. That was the wrong grammar. He didn't use his grammar right there. And just picking apart everything I say, okay? But obviously, if there's any doctrine that you're like, oh, I never heard that before, you better be judging that. You better be looking at it and say, oh, does that fit? I've never heard that before. Well, you better be judging it. Amen. And, you know, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm not looking down on you and saying, oh, you didn't believe me, you know? No, you should be looking at it and say, yeah, does that fit? Does that work? And listen, I guarantee you there's people in here that judge what I preach and be like, I see where he's coming from, but I don't necessarily agree with that 100%. It's fine. Okay? As long as we're not talking about salvation in the King James Bible, we're all right. So, but obviously there's a lot of cases where you may have different thoughts or whatever. I mean, we were talking about the Book of Life and stuff like that, and just the thought process as far as what that's, who's being blotted out and stuff like that. And people have different opinions and stuff like that. That's fine. And just different things, end times things, timelines, things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd actually be more worried if everybody's just like, yes, Pastor Robinson, you said it, thus saith the Lord. You know, I believe everything that you say. I would be worried. Okay? I'd be like, what are we doing here? Someone please, you know, stop looking at me like that. You know, stop like making me seem like I'm some, like, God figure, okay? So I like the fact that people have their own minds, have their own judgments, and that they'll differ a little bit on things. Obviously not causing discord. There's a difference between causing discord and trying to come against me and what I preach and what I teach. But at the same time, you should be saying, hey, is that right? Does that fit? Okay. Now go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Because the world is constantly saying, don't judge me. You know, you shouldn't judge anybody. Listen, when we go out soul winning, we're not condemning you. God is. Okay? I'm not casting you into hell. You know, and with all the reprobates out there, I didn't make you reprobate. So this idea of like putting this, oh, you're judging me, you're condemning me. No, that's the word of God. Notice what Jesus says here. Even the Son of God, who's down here on the earth in the flesh, notice what he says. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Amen. Okay? Because Jesus, when he came the first time onto this earth, it says, for he sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, you know what condemned the world? The law. Okay? You know, Moses, it says that the law came in by Moses, but grace and truth came in by Jesus Christ, or came by Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't need to come to condemn the world, as they were already condemned. Okay? Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to judge the quick and the dead at the same time. Okay? But what he's making a point here is that I didn't come into the world to, like, send condemnation. It was already here. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, but he's saying, I came to save, I came to redeem you. But he said, there is something that's gonna judge you. That's the word. Okay? That's the law. And you don't believe me, go to Revelation chapter 20. Because the world are saying, don't judge me. You're throwing the Bible at me. You're saying that saying I'm going to hell. You're saying that saying I'm wicked. Or whatever the case may be. Yeah, well, that's going to be the ultimate judgment. Notice the judgment seat of Christ, or judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne here with unbelievers. Because in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, what do you think that's talking about? I believe it's talking about that right there. The 66 books of the Bible. They're opened. And notice what it says. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. So you got two books, right? Well, actually, you have a lot of books, but basically, the Word of God is comprised of books, right? The books were opened, but then another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, okay? And it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in what? The books. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So what you have at the judgment, or I keep saying judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, is that you have the Bible right here, and you have the book of life, and they're saying, is your name in there? No, it's not. All right, you're going to be judged according to your works. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Because ultimately, why are they condemned? You know, but he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So they're going to be reminded that your name could have been blotted out. But since you chose to not believe on Christ, you will be judged according to the works of the law. Right? You'll be judged according to the law. And that judgment, according to those works, is going to determine your punishment in hell. Because there is greater damnation based off what you did. Okay, the little old lady down the street that didn't believe on Christ is not going to have as much punishment as Mussolini and Joseph Stalin and Bernie Sanders. You're saying, why? Well, they're all the same, right? Amen. You know, they're all socialist communists, right? So I know he's not dead yet, okay? But he's obviously a Jew that's like an atheist Jew or whatever he is. I mean, if he doesn't believe on Christ, he's going to go to hell. But all I'd say is that, there's going to be judgment. And, yeah, they don't want it in this life. They can hide from it all day long, but they can't hide from it forever. Okay? And when we go out soul winning, what are we trying to do? We're trying to tell them, hey, you know, we're already condemned, but here's a way out. See, we're not going to, I mean, we're showing them they're condemned, but do we physically condemn them ourselves? No, we're already condemned. By sinning, we've condemned ourselves. And all we're saying is saying, hey, you're already condemned. Just want to show you that. And here's the way out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're like, oh, you're being judgmental. No, the Bible's being judgmental. We're just the messenger. Okay? But this stupidity of judge nothing, the people that say that are hypocrites on the spot for saying it. Because they're literally judging you by saying don't judge. So, just wanted to get into that. You know, obviously, that idea of never judging is moronic. But there are applications where you should just not judge a case. You should just worry about yourself and don't worry about that. But when it comes to things that are explicitly stated in the Bible, you can judge that all day long. Thus saith the Lord. There's no problem with that. So, and that's where the world comes in. They don't want the Bible to judge them. And they don't want someone to tell them that the Bible's judging them. Okay? I'll tell them all day long the Bible's judging them. There's no problem with that. So let's end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for your word. And just pray that you would be with us throughout the rest of today, and just pray that you'd be with the soul winning, and just pray that you'd protect us. And Lord, pray for many souls to be saved. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And I just pray that you'd give us discernment to know the difference between good and evil, between right and wrong, and when to judge and when not to judge, Lord. Help us to not disobey your word in that. And Lord, to have good fellowship and unity in the church here. And Lord, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.